Hi, this is Skip Bayless, and thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I just posted a personal story on my Facebook page. If you want to know what I'm really all about, what makes me tick, what made me, you should read what I wrote about my upbringing. You should read about how I succeeded in spite of a mean-spirited drunk of a father and a mother who was too interested in herself to ever be much interested in me. You should read about my athletic achievements and my chokes. You'll find my story on my Facebook page. And now, let's get the show started.
Hello and welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, did Dak Prescott have a better regular season than Russell Wilson? Plus, Greg Jennings explains why Antonio Brown and the Steelers must part ways. And why does LeBron keep talking about the 2016 finals? Skip Shannon, let's get to it. So let's talk about that game. A lot of attention will be on the two quarterbacks. Dak Prescott had 28 total touchdowns this season for Dallas, but he was picked off twice and sacked five times in their early season loss to the Seahawks. On the other side, Russell Wilson had 35 touchdown passes this season, two of those in the win against Dallas. Shannon, who had the better season, Dak or Russ?
Are we on a
what are you checking for?
Are we on a new show? Because last night I watched The Masked Singer, so I think we got a new show.
Oh.
They punking me or something.
Same show.
So, are you wearing a mask?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, because you punking me, Skip, baby.
No, this is real.
No, this ain't no real question.
Then you better have some ammunition over there to defend
Skip Bayless, it's Russ and it's not even close.
Really?
The Seahawks are not even supposed to be here. Yeah. This was supposed to be a rebuild. Remember, they let Sherman go. They traded Bennett. Cliff Avril had to retire. Cam Chancellor had to retire. Earl Thomas got hurt, I think, third or fourth game of the season. Mm. And so when you look at it, there's nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. There isn't anything that Dak Prescott does better than Russell Wilson. Mm. Now, you told me, and Jenny, I went home yesterday. Mm. I said, you know what? Should I believe Skip Bayless? I'm going to start. I was talking to myself, Jenny. I said, you know what? I'm going to start listening to Skip. I said, he told me that I should put stock in Pro Football Focus when they're grade people.
Okay.
He says because they got guys, former NFL, you know, GMs, and all they do is sit around. Shannon, you don't have time to watch games like they do. I said, okay, Skip, I'm gonna put stock in it. Pro Football Focus says by every metric that Russell Wilson is better. He threw 13 more touchdowns, one fewer interception. He had a better QBR. I don't even use QBR, but better passer rating, yards per attempt. Seattle's offense, sixth in scoring. Cowboys offense, 22nd. Now, I will give Dak this. He did have a little over 400 more yards.
Okay.
But let me ask you a question, Jenny. Do you feel comfortable saying
that? Are you talking to Jenny or me? I don't know.
He's thinking out of stock.
Yeah, I need help? I'm looking
at you. Okay, help him out.
I'm looking at you.
No, help him.
Who am I looking at?
You're looking at Jenny.
No, I ain't looking at no Jenny. I'm looking at you.
Yep. You better be.
Yeah. You my nemesis. You.
I am your nemesis. Yep.
I feel comfortable in saying that even though Dak threw 99 more passes for 400 more yards, I believe Russell Wilson, if you let Russell Wilson throw those same passes, I believe he can average 4 yards or attempt. I believe he could. So, Skip, when you look at it, and let me ask you a question. Who do you think have the better offensive talent? Zeke, Amari Cooper, and an offensive line. So, given all that, and given what Russ was able to do, and that, you can't even say record because both of them 10-6. It just so happens Seattle plays in a division. It just so happens that the NFC East is the weakest conference, is the weakest division in the NFC. Given that 10-6 won it. Every other division had a 13-3. I think Chicago finished 11-5 or 12-4. So with that being said, Russell Wilson, by every metric that you told me to Pro Football Focus, Russell Wilson's ahead. Another thing about Pro Football Focus, Skip, do you know this? I don't know if you know this or not, but they had Zeke graded the 30th running back in all of football. So
that, thank you for that.
I didn't 30th.
Yeah, okay.
I don't even know why I brought that up. That's none of my business. So, Kim, I'm sorry.
So Dak was actually handicapped by Zeke, is what you're talking about?
I'm just saying.
Thank you for that nugget. I appreciate that. That starts to make my case even stronger. Okay. Appreciate that very much. This is why Dak Prescott had a little better. I'm not going to go, he had a way better year, because he didn't have a way better. He just had a
he
little
didn't have
better
a better.
Year. Let me explain this to you.
Okay,
let's start with what you always start with me on. You always discount Dak Prescott. You say he's a product of Ezekiel Elliott, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, Russell Wilson benefited from the number one rushing attack in all of pro football. Am I right about that? Yeah. Seattle led the whole National Football League in rushing. And as a team, back to your point about Zeke, the Dallas Cowboys finished 10th in rushing as a team. So number one to number 10.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't that be a big advantage for Russell Wilson over Dak?
No.
You start with that premise right there.
Well,
so you're going to benefit greatly, because everything you do when you throw the football has opened wide open, because you can run it the way nobody can run it in the whole NFL.
Because,
am I right?
Because
I'm just using what you taught me.
Because
right?
Russell Wilson can run it 25 times better than what Dak Prescott can.
Oh, really?
Yeah!
Oh, that's an interesting stat, Jenny. So, help me out with this. I'll just throw this out. I was going to save it for my denouement conclusion, but I'll just throw this out.
Throw it out.
Dak Prescott rushed for 6 touchdowns. That means he scored 6 with his legs. Guess how many Russell scored with his legs? How about a big goose egg? 0 for Russell Wilson. So Dak had 6 touchdowns running the football. So let's add those on to his total of touchdown passes, right?
Do that.
Okay. So now, obviously, for the first 8 games this year, Dak was really up against it. And you agreed with this, because not only did he not have a number one receiver to target, I'm not even sure he had a number two. And the great Shannon Sharp would always reinforce that same point. You always said, I don't know if they even have a number two out
there.
Okay, give you that. And furthermore, they clearly don't have any obvious tight end target.
Yes,
so there's no.
They got Shannon Jarwin.
Okay, well, that's.
Shannon Jarwin.
That just happened in the very last regular season game, right? Didn't they just play the last regular season game? I'm talking about the first 8 games.
Ooh.
He had nobody to throw to, right?
Yeah.
And the whole year, guess what? Russell Wilson had two number ones to throw to.
Really?
He had Tyler Lockett and Doug Baldwin. You don't think those are number ones? I'll take them any day of the week.
Of course you would.
Because those are tough, get open. Tyler Lockett can get open on anybody.
But
he had 10 touchdowns himself.
Nobody looks at, everybody has to be, somebody has to be the number one receiver.
Mm.
But I don't think anybody looks at Doug Baldwin, looks at Tyler Lockett and says they're number ones in the term, in the sense of Julio, A.B.,
no,
or
Juju. But they're up there. They're really good.
But you should, so Dak should be disqualified, because you said the first 8 games he wasn't very good because he had no one throw to.
He had nobody.
Okay, so with that should disqualify him.
Disqualify? No, because now we get to the last 8 games, and now we really qualify him. We, in fact, over-qualify him over Russell Wilson.
How?
Because once Amari joins and you have one target, you just have one number one receiver, all of a sudden, over the last 8 games, Dak Prescott throws for the 4th most yards in the whole National Football League. This is over the last 8 games of the year. And obviously, they go 7-1 over that stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the 3rd highest completions of that stretch over those last 8 games. He had the 3rd highest completion percentage. Well, those 3 numbers alone should qualify him as a top 5 performer over the last 8 games of the year.
But unfortunately, the season is 16 games, not just 8.
I'm going to weight these far more heavily. I'm going to value those last
8 because
games. Because he finally actually had a target to throw to. And he took them on a run from 3-5 all the way to 10-6.
Do you remember what Seattle
That's
started?
That's sensational.
Do you remember what Seattle
that
started?
Was before then. They were 0-3?
But
3-5, that's deep in the season. You're dead in the water. That's after that Tennessee debacle.
How many times? There's only a handful of teams that come back. The Houston Texans did it this year. They were 0-3, come back, won the division. It doesn't happen very often, Skip Bayless.
So what am I supposed to do with these numbers? Dak Prescott averaged 243 yards passing a game.
Yes.
Russell Wilson averaged only 216 yards passing a game?
Yes.
That's not that good.
Right.
What do you always throw at me about Dak Prescott? That 200-yard line.
Yeah.
He can't even throw for 200 yards, right?
He couldn't.
So help me out with this. 7 times this year, Russell Wilson threw for under 200 yards. Only 5 times Dak threw for under 200 yards. So wouldn't that advantage Dak?
No.
Yeah, it's advantage Dak.
What about the touchdown?
Huh?
What about the touchdown, boss?
It's my turn. I think I'm making my case right now.
Go ahead.
So Dak Prescott actually threw for 455 in one game against the arch rival, the defending
INTs?
Super Bowl champ.
How many INTs?
You know what? It's my turn, I
okay.
think,
and
my you're
bad.
Interrupting
you're right.
me
you're right.
again.
Sorry.
So that's 455 yards against the defending Super Bowl champ Philadelphia Eagles. Then he also threw for 387. Is that better than 200? I think it is. So 455, 387.
You make it seem like you threw for 200 yards every game.
Russell,
stop it.
Russell Wilson threw for 300-plus one time, and it was only 339. So Dak had two games much higher than Russell Wilson's best game. That's interesting.
Okay.
So let's just do the wins. So in Russell Wilson's 10 wins, mm-hmm. he had 20 touchdowns to three interceptions.
Yes.
In Dak's 10 wins, he had 17 touchdowns to only two interceptions.
Okay.
20 to 3 to 17 to 2. Well, I'd say that's pretty even,
no,
right?
No, no, no.
Then you throw the six rushing touchdowns on top of that to zero for your
whoa,
guy.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did he have those six? So, see what you did there, Skip Bayless?
I didn't do anything.
Well, help me out.
So, let's do average distance of touchdown pass. Dak's average touchdown pass covered 27 yards. Russell's covered only 18,
Skip.
27 to 18.
Skip.
So, all those 35, they're coming from shorter distances because one-third of those 35 came from under 10 yards. He is dinking and dunking touchdown passes. I don't know. I mean, God bless you if you can do it, but...
Skip.
You can do it by land or by sea. Which do you,
you know,
do it?
You know,
and they chose to go by sea.
You know,
right?
Skip, this is what you done me. I mean, when I came on the show, I think September 6th, mm-hmm. 2016
yeah.
was our first
mm-hmm.
time. And Skip told me, he said, well, Shannon, I didn't play the game. And I didn't break film down like you did, but I'm an eye test guy.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my eyes, he said, you know, I've covered this game long enough and I'm an eye test guy. Mm-hmm. If you got decent eyesight,
mm-hmm.
there's not one person, not even a Cowboy fan, that will tell you Dak Prescott had a better...
How do you know that?
Because I know.
You don't know
because
that.
Because even...
No Cowboy fan, no respectable Cowboy fan follows you on Twitter.
They should.
I know that.
Because they want the truth.
Huh? They want the truth?
Because even the most irrational Cowboy fans, yeah. and that's 90% of them,
okay.
knows that Russell Wilson had a better season. Okay,
look,
Skip.
What is the question here? Who's the better quarterback? If we're just doing who's the better overall quarterback,
no, who had
I'll
better
give
season?
You Russell Wilson.
No, who had
because he actually won a Super Bowl. I give you that.
Okay, Skip.
Right?
Okay.
Can't deny that.
But we're talking about who had the better season this year. Dak did. Dak was the driving force of a team that turned it around. Once you gave him one receiver, he turned it around. And I tried to tell you yesterday, I didn't think Zeke's year this year was that great. I thought it would be much better than it was. Okay?
He
led the league because no single back gets to carry it as much.
Which, with Dallas in rebuild?
I don't know. Felt like it to me.
No. I'm talking about what it felt like.
No.
That's the eczema you got. You need to rub some cream on that.
Mm.
You wouldn't feel that anymore. Were the Dallas Cowboys in a rebuild? No. Okay. They played 16 games, Skip Bayless. You good with math. They played 16 NFL. Hold on, let me finish.
What, do you know how young the Dallas defense is?
Okay.
It's just like a bunch of babies. Like, they're all just growing up right before your very eyes.
Have you seen...
Is that rebuilding? I'd say that.
Have you seen the Seattle defense?
Yeah, I have a lot.
Young.
Bobby Wagner's really young.
Yeah.
A.J. Choi, he's what, first year in the... Is he a second year player? I forget.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You make it seem. Like, what about Irving? What about Crawford? Are they first year guys?
Was
Byron Jones?
Who did the most damage to the Dallas Cowboys in Week 3? That Earl Thomas guy. How long has he been in the league?
How long has he been out this season?
Mm.
But anyway, Skip, they played 16 NFL games. In 10 of those games, Dak Prescott threw one or zero touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
In 10 of the 16 games.
Mm.
What am I supposed to do with that?
Well, they're scoring different ways.
Oh!
And it's Zeke, let him score. Or maybe Dak just runs the ball in. He did that a bunch of times. He did it six times. To your guys, none.
You told me if a quarterback could throw it, because when I told you, I said, well, Skip, this is why I give Aaron Rodgers the grade or a little better grade than I give Tom Brady, because of his legs. Mm. You tell me he don't need no legs. Tom Brady uses his arm, so he doesn't need to be able to run the ball.
Okay. All right. So what's your point?
Russell Wilson doesn't need to use his legs.
So we have Tom Brady way up here, and then we have Aaron Rodgers here.
No, then we have
Russell Wilson here, and then we have Dak Prescott
We got Russell Wilson here, and then we got Dak Prescott here.
No, we do not.
Yeah, we do.
Stop it, Skip.
Stop it.
This is haunting you because you cannot swallow the fact that you've been wrong about Dak Prescott. No, it just boils down to that.
I'm not wrong.
You basically called him a bust.
No, I did not call him a bust.
Yes,
and
you have.
Russell Wilson should have made the Pro Bowl. Mm. You and I both agree.
Yeah.
Should Dak Prescott have made the Pro Bowl? Yes or no?
No, he's just more valuable to his team. He had a better year than Russell had.
No, he did.
Yeah.
You know what, Skip? No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Let this one be
2019, I think you, after all these years, Skip, you hadn't had a drink. And in 2019, you started off with a drink.
No, I didn't.
Because you must be drunk. No. You talk about Dak Prescott had a better year than Russ.
He just did. I just outlined it for you.
No, you didn't.
And you just can't take it.
Pro Football Focus didn't say that. And now you told me to put all my stock in Pro Football Focus yesterday. Mm. That's why I listened to you, Skip. I listen
all
to you. Every time you say something, I say, hey, Skip said this. When people ask, I say, well, Skip said
yesterday you called it pro football foolishness.
But I went home. I had to change. I told you I was talking on my way home. I was talking to myself. Yeah. I said, Shannon, you should listen to Skip.
I know.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yep.
Driving home. I'm driving home. Shannon, huh? You should listen to Skip. You know what? You're right. That's what I said to myself.
That inner
you're going to see the light on Saturday night. Oh.
Yeah, that's that train.
That's going to be my motto this year.
That's that Seattle
see
train
light,
running over you.
See the light on Saturday night. I like that.
I'm worried about it for both of you.
You know, sometimes, even if you're on the right track, you can get run over if you're headed the wrong direction.
Mm.
That's Russell.
That was impressive.
You can't be on the right track if you're headed in the wrong
direction. Yes, you can.
You're on the wrong track.
Yeah, no.
I think you're on the wrong track.
No,
to look forward to in that playoff game.
No mercy.
Well, the Steelers are in the news right now for all the wrong reasons. Mike Tomlin shed some light on the drama surrounding Antonio Brown, saying he told Brown to go home and rest his leg on Friday, but added that Antonio didn't communicate with the team after that, leading up to him being deactivated for Sunday's game. Tomlin went further on the situation yesterday. Take a listen.
Obviously, we take his lack of communication, his lack of presence, particularly on Saturday prior to the game, to be something that's very significant. It will be handled appropriately so. I'm not going to speculate on trades and things of that nature. We haven't formally received a request in that regard. So I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to speculate in terms of where the discipline might go and things of that nature. Just know that it's going to be addressed, and it will be addressed and needs to be addressed for obvious reasons. And when we're talking about our darkest hour, okay, we're talking about playing to win a game and needing other dominoes to fall for us to be in the tournament, and a guy not communicating, that is a real element of discussion.
Does it reach a point where it becomes more problematic than it's useful?
Certainly.
All right, Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings joining us this morning. When you look at this situation, how do you think it will play out between Antonio and the Steelers?
I don't know how it turns out. I don't think any of us can say how it turns. Well, we can say how it turns out, but we have to see it play out. But how it should turn out, he has to go. Simply put, he has to go. When I'll start with even listening to Mike Tomlin in that press conference. What was Antonio Brown doing? Was he respectfully just listening, or was he trying to one up him and mock him and make him almost look like, look, I don't want to hear that. I'm not listening to you. He's already shown a disrespect towards not only the organization and his teammates, but to Mike Tomlin. I don't even respect you right now. Whatever you have to say, I'm not even listening. And neither should anyone else who's following me on Instagram or Twitter or all these social platforms. Mm-hmm. No, listen to me. Don't even listen to Mike Tomlin. I got this under control. That is a slap in the face where you just don't come back from that. Antonio Brown is who he is right now. And as much production that he has produced for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger in that offense, we all know what it looks like and what it's been. It's been great. But is it worth the culture? Is it worth what we're trying to do? Is it worth the wins that we lack because of this? Mm-hmm. Because of this. Like, I don't care how productive you are. If your goal isn't in alignment with mine, we can't win. The reason why the New England Patriots win is because they lay all differences aside when they get on that football field. Once they're in that uniform and that helmet is put on, everything that we disagree on is out the window right now. Mm-hmm.
And if you do happen to continue to disagree, you're out the window.
Yes, right? Exactly. Yeah. And what Mike Tomlin said at the end of that, when the reporter asked him, at some point, does this outweigh the production? Mm-hmm. Does it become too much with all the antics and whatever? And his answer is certainly. I hope he sticks to that certainly. Yeah. Yes. And it's not just Mike Tomlin that has to do that. That's the Roonies that have to make that decision. But you can't allow Antonio Brown to come back with this attitude because it's not going to change. I don't care how many times you sit down with Ben, Tomlin, bring us all in a room. Let's have a come to Jesus moment, as everybody wants to allude to. He is who he is. It's not changing. Mm.
I'm a firm believer. In order for your team to enjoy success, your best players need to be the hardest workers and the best leaders.
True.
And the two best players for the Pittsburgh Steelers are their worst leaders, Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. That's it. You see, the thing is that when he went Facebook Live and Mike Tomlin is laying out what they're going to do for the upcoming week and get ready for, this joker is in the background. So at that moment, this is not about you, team. This is about Facebook and my followers and them getting an insight. Bro, that's sacred.
Mm-hmm. And remember, he caught Tomlin live taking a shot at the Patriots. Those A's, right?
You know, get a head start.
They got a head start. And it went out live to everybody.
Live.
Wow.
And he didn't care because it's never been about the team. It's always been – When I speak to college guys and I speak to NFL guys that's just getting into the league, the one thing I tell them, I says, I want you to be selfish. I want you to win the Heisman. I want you to be all pro. I want you to try to make the Pro Bowl and win MVP. But those goals can never supersede that of the team. Because if the team goal is first, I know you will work extremely hard to accomplish what you need to. And if you accomplish those goals, we're going to meet those team goals. Mm-hmm. Antonio team is Team Antonio. Antonio care about one thing, his numbers. Antonio will tell you he just wants to win. He does want to win. Mm-hmm. But I need 12 catches for a buck 50 and two touchdowns in that win.
Yep.
Because if I get 6 for 50 and a touchdown, that ain't good enough. Mm-hmm. Because I saw Juju get 10 for 105 and a touchdown. I can't have that. Mm. They got to move on. Because right now, Skip, production intolerance. You going to tolerate this because his production level is high. It was the same thing with T.O., Skip. And I love T.O. His production was high. He was getting 1,500 yards receiving. He's getting 13, 14 touchdowns. But the moment that production slips, he gone.
Yep.
But what he's doing is that he's poisoning the locker room because you got young receivers. Juju's only in his second year. James Washington's in his first year.
Yep.
Eli Rogers is young.
Yep.
That's the defining voice in their meeting room. That's who they're looking at. They're like, well, hold on. This dude bucking, and he got $72 million. So what's to stop me from bucking? Juju putting up numbers. Juju's like, well, hold on. I beat Antonio. I have more yards, more catches than Antonio. He acted like this and got paid. What's to stop me from acting like that and getting paid? I'm producing.
Because they keep looking at the head coach. How's he going to react to this?
Yeah!
He doesn't react. He doesn't react. He doesn't react. It goes unpunished, unpunished, unpunished until now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You can't have – it's like, Skip, you and I both are dog lovers. Mm-hmm. In that when you get a puppy, you try to set the groundwork and the parameters of how it's going to act. You don't let it go in the house.
No.
You can't get a puppy and let it go in the house till he's 5 years old and then all of a sudden say, you know what, I want you to go outside. He's looking at you like, what? I've been going to the house for 5 years. No, I think I'll stay right here. You've been letting Antonio Brown do this. So you know what you do? You pass that problem on to somebody else. Hey, y'all take it. Because I don't want to deal with it anymore because it's preventing us from reaching our ultimate. This is why the Pittsburgh Steelers are at home, Skip. Mm-hmm. They're too talented. There's no reason. You're fourth in offense, you're eighth in defense, and you're out of the playoffs because of this, because of Antonio Brown, because of Ben. Because of what Mike Tomlin and the Steelers organization has accepted.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this story is wearing me out. It's tiring me out because this man across from me said from day one, do not pay him. Bad idea.
Let him go.
Right?
Yep.
I echoed your sentiments. I said, do not pay him. I said, do not pay Odell Beckham Jr. or you will regret it. And the Giants, I believe, are already regretting it. They're both more trouble than they're worth because, as you continue to point out, they play, you know this position very well. You know it pretty well. It's a dependent position. You can do only so much because you don't get to dribble the ball up the floor and decide whether to shoot it or not. You have to wait until it gets thrown to you. And if the other team says, Greg Jennings cannot have the ball today, it's going to be hard to get Greg the ball today, right?
Mm-hmm.
That will benefit everybody else, but it doesn't benefit Greg Jennings.
Right.
So, obviously, Antonio Brown has become way more trouble than he is worth. And all of his social media following does not contribute on Sunday. It doesn't help you win football games. In fact, it's really destructive to your trying to win a football game because you won championships on two different teams that were pretty united, as far as I knew,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And you won on a team. It started to fracture later, but that year, mm-hmm. I think you were pretty together, right?
Of course.
You have to be. No one's ever won a championship. Those Cowboy teams in the early 90s, off the field, they were – my last book was titled Hell Bent. They were hell bent off the field. Trust me, in the locker room when it was time to work, time to practice, they were like this, man. They loved each other. They fought for each other, and they were super talented, and they performed up to that level. Well, this team is super talented, and it's consistently not performed up to the level when it's time. These were indictment games. What they did to New England at Pittsburgh, they showed you, oh, you can do that,
right.
Really? Oh, you're really good. They showed you at New Orleans. They can hang right in there, and they had a chance to win at New Orleans.
Right.
And they missed the playoffs. Why did they miss the playoffs? Well, it all starts, they all get blamed, but to your point, they're all finger pointers.
Oh, Le'Veon. The Le'Veon distraction was hanging over here.
Okay. So you have to cut bait and cut your losses. And again, we were ahead of this, so we're not being 20-20 hypocrites or 20-20 hindsight.
No.
We're saying we said this from the start. We told you so, but now you've made your bed, and you have to get out of your bed
right.
Because it's not going to work next year. You have to give him away, and you're going to have to give him away.
Oh, yeah, you're not going to get
because
equal value.
The no. money is so high that somebody's going to have to take on, and the baggage is so much that, trust me, you can try to auction him off, and you might get a third rounder for
second,
him.
Third. But let me ask you a question. Is that second or third round pick going to give you the production, no matter what the position is mm-hmm. that you get with that second or third round pick, mm-hmm. is it going to give you the production of Antonio Brown? But Skip, here's the thing. Maybe I could see, you know what, if I'd won me a 2 or 3 championship, but let me ask you this, Skip. Do you think Golden State would put up Draymond antics if they hadn't won 3 championships?
Not a chance.
Mm-mm.
Not a chance.
All the kicking and the technical fouls?
Mm-mm.
Just nope. Like Rod, Detroit put up with Rodman antics.
They did.
They're winning championship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the moment they stopped
with... Hey, trust me, the Bulls put up with Rodman
yeah. antics.
They did.
And when Jordan left, they said, man, we ain't going to be able to control this guy.
Nope.
You got to go.
Got to go.
And this is what Antonio. Hold on. You mean to tell me I'm paying you $16, $17 million a year to miss the playoffs? Well, I can get me somebody and not pay them that much and miss the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I miss the playoffs with you. I can miss the playoffs without you.
Mm.
This makes no sense to me because Antonio Brown is dug in on who he wants to be and how he wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to change.
Yeah, and to Greg's point, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, at the flashpoint moment yesterday when he had a chance to show a little contrition, a little penitence, just a little bit of let's live and let live.
I was wrong.
You know, like a little bit. He's mocking the head coach during his live news conference on TV.
And then, boy, I don't know if he posted it on Twitter or Facebook talking about his free will.
Yes.
Dum-dum, free will. Dude, they paying you $18 million, $16, $17 million a year, and you don't show up to work.
That quote sounded like a Drew Rosenhaus special to me.
And you touched on this, Skip. When you really have a respect and a relationship outside of just the game with mm-hmm. your teammates, with
yes.
your coworkers, you will go above and beyond. It doesn't matter to you who shines because if you do well, if you look good, I look good.
Sure.
If you draw attention, that means I have more opportunity. If I draw attention, that means you have more opportunity. But because this team doesn't have the camaraderie Off the field, they're not as tight-knit. Winning is not the supreme goal when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They talk about it, but they're not about it. Why do I say that? Because they want their own numbers.
I need my numbers.
Look at their offensive line calling out Le'Veon Bell. It's really us. What do you mean?
You ever heard offensive line say that?
Who does that?
Never.
You can't win when you're divided.
Every line never said anything.
No.
If the dude got 18,000, not one to A. They raised their hand, Larry said, hey, that was me. Nate New said, no, that was me. Shep said, no, that was me. Big Easy said, no, I got that, cuz. Eric Dickerson lying. And you got lying talking about that's us.
The list goes on. And can you imagine Tomlin getting off that podium and going, how did that go? And then someone has to tell him what AB was doing. I mean, just that relationship, I don't see it coming forward. I mean, there's really no way back from that. All right, Greg, good to have you on that topic.
No mercy.
The Ravens are a small favorite in their home playoff game on Sunday against the Chargers. Lamar Jackson has burst on the scene and led the Ravens to 6 wins in their last 7 games. Baltimore beat the Chargers a few weeks ago here in L.A., and in that game, Phillip Rivers had one of his worst games of the season. No touchdown passes, and he was sacked 4 times. Shannon, who do you trust more in the playoffs, Lamar or Phillip Rivers?
I'm going to go Rivers slightly.
Okay.
I just believe in the playoffs, after having played in the playoffs, that it comes down to that there will be a couple of plays in a game that needs to be made via the quarterback's arm.
Okay.
And you're not going to be able to run for the first. You're not going to be able to hand it off for the first. You're going to have to throw for the first. And I just believe that Phillip is more, at this point of his career, I just believe that he's more qualified to do that than Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, his most passing yards in the season is 204. Had he had enough completion attempts, 58% completion would have ranked him 31st in the league. Rivers, for the most part, has been an MVP candidate. Now, I still believe that he'll finish somewhere top 5 in the MVP. I believe Mahomes, Breeze, Luck, either Donald or Rivers will be 4th and 5th, and I believe that's the way it's going to play out, Skip. But if you look at it like this, since he's been named a starter, Lamar Jackson's had 13 pass attempts where it's been 3rd and 10 or longer. He's completed 1. I feel comfortable in saying that come playoff time, there's going to be a time or two in this game. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 3rd and 10. And Lamar Jackson will need to make a throw. And I believe there'll be 3rd and 10 for the Chargers. And I just believe Phillip Rivers, at this point of his career, is better suited to make those throws than Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is really, really heavily dependent on the running game. You look, and they can run it as well as anybody has. 7 games, over 1,500 yards rushing. That's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Only the 77 Bears had that many rush yards over a 7-game span. So for me, I'm going to trust Rivers because I believe that in the playoffs, you're going to have to make a throw. And I just believe right now where Rivers is in his career, he's better suited to make that throw than Lamar Jackson.
Okay. So I hear everything you just said. I also am here to say this is a crazy question in the biggest picture because Lamar Jackson at this stage of his young career does not even belong in the same sentence with Phillip Rivers.
He doesn't.
But I'm also here to tell you that I trust Lamar a little bit more on Sunday at Baltimore than I trust Phillip Rivers because of the circumstances involved here. I believe Lamar will not try to do too much because they don't ask him to do too much.
They don't let him.
They don't let him. He does exactly what he's capable of doing at this stage of his NFL growth.
Yep.
I believe Phillip Rivers at some point on Sunday, on some 3rd and 10, will try to do a little too much because that's who he is and what he has always been to this franchise. And too often when he tries to do too much, you know what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at Phillip Rivers. He is 4-5 in the postseason, which it's okay, but it's not great.
No,
it's not living up to his regular season stats and stature,
that is
right? So in the postseason, he's 11 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. He has not won a playoff game in 5 years. And he got to the one AFC championship game that was against those 07 Patriots who were loaded, but it was that cold day up in Foxborough, and he had a bad game. He was 19-37 for 211 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Sounds like the numbers against Baltimore.
Yep.
And they weren't very good, and Brady and company went on to the Super Bowl and obviously lost to Eli and company. So the point is, Phillip Rivers has to feel more pressure on Sunday at Baltimore because he's turned now 37 years of age. Mm-hmm. He's in his 15th year, and he was quoted a year ago as saying, there's no way I'm going to play until I'm 45 years of age. He has no ambition to do a Brady, right?
Yeah, you're going to have to, Skip.
Do you think because of the kids?
Yeah.
So he's got a ninth kid on the way.
On the way.
Okay. That's a lot of kids.
Something tells me in 2 years he's going to have a 10th one on the way.
Well, that's been his history, right? Okay. But he also said that at some point he wants to help coach his son's high school team. And his son has now just turned 16 years of age. I'm not sure exactly which year in high school he is. Okay. Sophomore, maybe. But
which son?
Okay, which
he
son?
He's got a bunch of them.
I know he's got a – but that's the oldest kid. Yeah. So he probably would like to help coach a bunch of his boys as their girls or whatever as they come up.
Yes.
And the point is – I just don't know how much longer he wants to do that with that much responsibility at home. That's a lot of responsibility.
And plus the thing, Skip, the commute. Because he still lives in San Diego, and he has that car that's tricked out that he drives to and from.
He does.
Every single day. You think about that, Skip. Okay, 1 year, that's fine. But you start doing that 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you know, San Diego to where they, you know, that's not a short commute.
It is not a short commute, especially with what can happen on the 405.
Yes.
He's got a nice, I'm sure he's got a drive. A
he does
setup,
have a driver. But you
studying
still.
Studying film.
Jenny made that commute. Hey,
it was longer than I felt, actually.
Think about it. You're not flying the plane, but going back and forth for extended periods of time, you're like, man, this is for the birds.
Hey, I had a once a week commute from Bristol, Connecticut to New York City, and it was no cakewalk.
Exactly. Really? No.
Yeah, no fun. So back to this. Philip Rivers and company, they threw the ball. The Chargers did 512 times this year, and they ran it 399. So you know they're going to put it up, right?
Yes.
And we know that Lamar and company, they're just going to run it and run it. As long as they can run it, they will run it.
But they're going to get 40 attempts.
Okay. And a number of those attempts will feature Lamar.
Correct.
Because he's really good at that.
Yes.
And I think he's been shockingly good under pressure at those little key passes. And they're not big deals. They're just little big deals.
But you remember last week, Skip?
Yeah.
They didn't let him throw it.
No.
The last drive, it was three runs, and you know Greg Williams is coming. Williams is coming with run blitzes. Mm-hmm. And they would not let him throw the football. So it told you at that moment what they were thinking.
But at Kansas City, I saw him throw it enough to put them ahead 24-17 with 2 minutes left, right? Okay, that was pretty great. What I love about this kid is, I've told you from the start, I like his poise under fire. Mm-hmm. He doesn't change. I don't see him flinch. I don't see fidgety. I don't see nervous body language.
Right.
He looks just the way he looked at Louisville, like playing a college football game. The stage isn't too big for him. He believes in himself and what he can and can't do. He gets that so far. They get it. Marty Morningwig gets it.
Yes. That
John Harbaugh gets it. They're putting him in very advantageous positions to do exactly. He throws it well enough to win this game on Sunday.
And what they do, Skip, is that they catch you off because they let him throw a lot of his throws come on first and second down.
They do.
When you're not expecting it.
Okay.
Because they don't want him to get in third and long. They don't want him to throw in a situation
and obviously
you know he's going to throw.
Almost all of them come off some kind of play action.
Of course.
Any kind of read option action.
Yes.
It makes it easier.
Yes.
It is, you hate this description, but it is Tebow-esque. He doesn't have anything in common with Tebow as far as their styles go.
Yeah.
But they're similar approaches that 2011 Broncos run to this run.
Well, you run the zone read because now we got to find out what you're going to do. So it's got to play. It's going to crystallize itself.
Okay.
And so we want to make sure that he's not throwing in some exotic coverage. We know because they run the ball so well, it's going to be one-on-one. The question is, can he be accurate enough to hit the open guy one-on-one?
That is the question. And so far, I think he's been mostly accurate enough to hit the open receiver. So let's look at the Ravens defense. They're second in points allowed, first in yards allowed. What do they feature in their back end? A guy named Eric Weddle, who's
Tony
in
Jefferson.
This is his 12th year, Eric Weddle. He made the Pro Bowl this year, and nine of those seasons were spent practicing against Philip Rivers.
Yep.
So does he not know Philip Rivers pretty well?
Yep.
Does he not anticipate him pretty well?
Yes.
He probably does. So Chargers were eighth in points allowed. Pretty good. Yes. This year's Super Bowl pick is a good pick. That kid, Derwin James, is a flat-out stud. Yeah. Way more talented, I think, than Eric Weddle is. And he made the Pro Bowl, but he's in his first year in the National Football League. So will this stage be a little bigger than he's used to being? Sure, it will.
Well, and the thing is, Skip, it's been reported that they're going to activate Hunter Henry, who tore his ACLs. So that's another weapon. So we don't know how effective he's going to be.
Yeah.
But Eric Weddle also got $1 million for making the Pro Bowl and making the playoff.
Pretty good.
Nice little consolation prize. But it's going to be interesting. Can the Chargers put the Ravens and Lamar Jackson in a situation where we know you're going to throw the ball when we want you to throw it? Would I be surprised if they ran the ball 50 times? Absolutely not.
I would not either.
Because if history is any indication over the last 7 weeks, they've been 35 to almost 50 rush attempts per game.
Okay. So on expectations of each quarterback, I'm going to trust Lamar a little more because he's expected to do way less than Phillip with pressure mounting in his, 15th year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Surely Phillip's thinking, gee, I don't know how many times I'm going to come this way again. Yep. I got a good team. You know, I don't know how many more times I want to do this.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't think he's going to feel a lot of pressure
absolutely.
To do something?
Yeah.
Yeah, make a big throw?
Because last year they didn't even make the playoffs.
No.
So as you get older and you miss the playoffs, you're like, well, how many more opportunities am I going to have?
Yep.
It's not like Patrick Mahomes is in his 17th year. He's not going anywhere.
That's a good point.
It's only 4-5 in the playoffs, too. Like, at some point he's going to want to be better than that.
Well, he better start. Well, if he doesn't win this game, he's going to be 4-6.
But then you got Harbaugh said this is the best team he's ever been associated with, ever. The way they've handled adversity, the support, that means something, right?
Skip, I do not believe, had Joe Flacco not gotten injured, I don't believe they make the playoffs with Joe Flacco.
That's what's
totally agree. Yeah.
No mercy.
All right, the Lakers were without LeBron for the fourth straight game last night, and his absence was definitely noticed late in the game. The Lakers had a 5-point lead in the fourth quarter, then the wheels kind of fell off. Paul George finished with 37 points despite being booed by the LA crowd all game. Russell Westbrook finished 3-for-20 from the field, but he still had a triple-double. The Lakers are now 1-3 without the King. Joined by FS1 NBA analyst Chris Broussard.
Here we go.
Chris, what was your takeaway from last night's game?
My first takeaway was,
man.
Paul George would have looked great next to LeBron James.
And
he's the perfect number two. And last night, he showed me mental toughness that he hasn't had in the past,
That's a good point, and I agree with
that. A year ago, when Indiana booed him when he went back, he scores 12 points, 3-for-14 shooting.
You're right.
Last night, he ate it up, got fueled by the boos.
Well, he's become the man in Oklahoma City. I think he's empowered by that.
He's having his best season before the injury. This is his best year without question. He may even move himself into the MVP conversation.
Maybe.
At some point. But I thought overall the Lakers played fairly well. I mean, they're not only without LeBron. They're without Rondo. And then they were without Kuzma for the second half. And here's what I saw from that team. For the first three quarters, I thought they played team basketball. They're moving the ball. The players are moving. It looked like they were relying on each other to get them buckets and shots versus somebody going create it themselves. I'm going to get my own stuff, right? I saw team basketball. In the fourth quarter, I thought there was more isolation, more one-on-one, more over-dribbling, and it was looking for one guy to lead us. Now, that's fine when it's LeBron. When LeBron's there, you can make that switch and go that route.
Yes.
All right, the Bulls used to do it with Jordan. You know, that's how and even Kuzma would be your second guy.
He would be.
He's not there.
I agree.
So Ingram, look, he did it against Sacramento. That was fine. But he can't do it every night.
No.
He's not the guy to do it every night. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had 21 points in the first three quarters because the ball was just finding
that
the open man, whoever it is.
And Lonzo had a lot to do with that until the fourth quarter.
Right.
So go ahead.
In the fourth quarter, Caldwell-Pope gets 4 points.
Yep.
3 shots. Mm-hmm. Ingram is 1-for-7 because they were looking for one guy to close rather than continuing to play as a team.
I don't know if they were looking for him to close, but I think they were looking for him to initiate the offense, but he was looking to close.
He was he was trying to be LeBron.
Yes.
Yep.
And that's nice. You want to emulate him, but you're not him. And that's what I saw from this team. But I said yesterday, I didn't expect them to win. Kuzma, obviously, I think LeBron's going to miss several of these games.
Oh, LeBron's going to be out gone for a minute.
Kuzma, Rondo obviously is going to miss them all. And Kuzma, that's the key. How that MRI goes, how soon he can get back. Because if those three are gone, then they'd be lucky to go 500 in this stretch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're in trouble without LeBron. And the three losses since LeBron has been out, they've been outscored by 40 points in the fourth quarter. Mm. And it's amazing when you have that calming effect. You know, I call him chamomile tea, like lavender. You know, he's a calming effect.
Well, but and I love LeBron, but look, they were having trouble closing games with him.
Thank you.
Right? And come on.
That's correct. The point.
They don't act have, like they was just on. Closing all these no, games.
No. I'm not saying that, but they were not getting outscored by an average of 13. Yeah. And that's the problem because they're right there in these games. I mean, you like you said, for three quarters. And then they put the ball in B.I. hand, and not necessarily so he can go one-on-one, so he can initiate the offense. But that's not what he's good at. And 1-for-7. Skip, Lonzo.
In the fourth quarter.
Lonzo became unplayable because his shot is so inconsistent. He doesn't feel comfortable driving the ball because if you drive the ball, what might happen, Skip? You might get fouled. And then you got to go to this, take this lonely walk to the free throw line. Skip these.
LeBron knows that walk in the fourth quarter.
LeBron ain't never shot under 50%.
It's a team-wide. They are terrible for the line.
And this is what I told you was going to be the Lakers' problem after watching them for 10 games. They turned the ball over, another 17. Poor free throw shooting. They missed another 13. I don't care if you got LeBron. You do that, you're losing. You're losing. But again, Lonzo, Skip, those free throws aren't even close to going in. That joker shooting the ball hoping. Man, I just hope I don't airball. See, it's thinking not even close. Look how he's shooting the ball. So, hold on. But you want me to believe that he's going to be a great shooter from the outside, and I'm watching the way when he's dribbling the ball, taking his time. Can you imagine when somebody's running at you? They're in trouble, Skip, until LeBron get back. That's why he the MVP. And everybody know it.
So, silly me, I envisioned LeBron late last night up on his deck, Brentwood Estate.
No, he was hard to game.
Big cigar. No, this is late. This is like 1 o'clock in the morning, puffing his cigar, thinking.
No, he don't do that during the season.
I got this. I got this. Because this is his MVP case, right? Being made right before your very eyes, right? So he has to enjoy some of these losses. Some.
No, we don't enjoy it.
If they fall too far, now they've fallen all the way to the 8th spot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to be 10th or 11th. They're going to be 10th or 11th by the time we get back.
Okay, so let me get this over with. You are so right about Lonzo Ball. It was going to be my first point. I had to get my little LeBron point out of the way first. But Lonzo Ball, I'm going to go this far. You can't play in this league shooting 45% from the free throw line, especially if you're a point guard.
Yeah.
If you're 7'2" and you can do a bunch of stuff.
Or you Ben Wallace.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. if you can do that, that's fine. But as a point guard, you cannot shoot 45% from the free throw line. In key moments in the fourth quarter, to your point, because that was still a game when he stepped to the line the first time, and he bricked both of them. They weren't even close. And then he missed another one before he finally swished his fourth one in the fourth quarter. And Luke took him right out of the game. And I had no problem with that because he was becoming Hack Alonzo liability.
Yes.
He was. And hey, they're not stupid.
How you hack a point guard?
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, you can't do that. He is shooting the ball from three much better than he did a year ago. So you got to give him that.
Yes.
And he's actually, he will step up and make some big threes in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
He has. He's not afraid to take that shot, but he's afraid to go to that free throw line. You can't exist. I'm telling you, you can't last in this league until you fix that. And I thought maybe he would fix it in the offseason because what did he shoot last year? 49%?
Yeah.
You know, that's pathetic. Can't play. That's do not invite him, right?
You certainly can't play in the fourth quarter.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
come on.
I mean, he like you said, he shot the ball well from three at times, especially playing off LeBron, but he's inconsistent.
Yeah.
Right.
He's just, you don't know. You have no idea from day to day, game to game, what Lonzo's going to get.
Or from shot to shot.
Right, right.
Do I love his passing gift? Yes, I do. Do I love his rebounding ability at about 6'7" tall? I do. And trust me, he's still their best on-ball defender. When he locks in on somebody, he is so long, he makes it really hard on the opposing team's guard. And he had Russ a lot last night. And I have never seen anything like the shooting slump he is in, given his stats over his career.
My goodness.
Oh, my goodness. He shot 3-for-20, and they still won the game last night because he's still going to stuff the stat sheet.
He gets it.
right?
He
needs to cut down the threes. He's taking 5 threes a game. He's shooting 24% from 3.
24?
1 for 7 last night.
Wow.
I get that you have to take a few to keep the defense honest.
Okay.
But he should be taking maybe 2 a game at the most.
Yeah.
Because he can do so many other
things. Brandon Ingram, you brought it up. So this was a big stage for him. This is like a big moment. This is a winnable game without Kuzma, without LeBron, without Rondo. And they said, B.I., you're up. This is your stage. And he plays the whole 12 minutes of the fourth quarter. And he goes, to your point, 1 for 7, and he played completely out of control the whole fourth quarter because it was hero ball times 10. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He would just get it and turn whirling dervish, just whirling around the lane, dribble, 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 fall away, high degree of difficulty shot, and he just kept bricking him, and he had 2 turnovers on top of that, and he was a minus 11 in the fourth quarter. That was not a good audition for you being the second best player on the team, right?
Nor a good audition for you being the showpiece of a trade.
He might be better outside of L.A. Well, maybe a Staples Center.
Well, you should have been rooting for him last night.
I was.
Okay.
But after I saw what was going on, I had to go to bed, Skip.
Yeah.
It was already at 9:30. Mm-hmm. I was like, nah, they're not going to win this one. Let me go on. Give me a good old night's sleep.
But these next 7 will tell the tale. They were supposed to lose last night.
Skip, Chris, you keep talking about, when you look at guess what the other teams are saying? Look who on our schedule.
I get it.
The Lakers.
I know.
They're looking at the Lakers like the Lakers looking at the Knicks and the other team.
I know.
That's how they're looking at the Lakers without LeBron.
This is one we can get.
So, Paul, think about this. Paul George shot 2 for 11 from 3 last night. Now, he had 37 points. But to your point, Westbrook shoots 1 for 7 from 3. As a team, they shoot 22.6% from 3, and they still won the game.
And they didn't shoot well from the line either. Mm-mm. 64%.
No. But they got up 16 more shots.
Okay.
They're not a good shooting team either.
No.
Let's see how they do tomorrow night, back in action against the Knicks. So maybe they can figure it out.
They better win that one. I don't care who's
out. It's ugly if they don't.
You better beat the Knicks.
Watch Moutier cook somebody.
Look good.
And Kevin Knox.
We're going to stick with LeBron because you know what? He keeps taking us down these trips, down memory lane.
We got to go out memory lane.
Yeah, we got
to
get
out
memory lane.
Back down memory lane.
He's talking about 2016 finals again. We'll discuss. We'll tell you next. Mm-hmm. No mercy. Well, LeBron recently said that he felt like he was the GOAT after his Cavs came back from a 3-1 deficit to beat the Warriors back in 2016. Yesterday, LeBron's show More Than an Athlete released a clip of what he told his teammates in the locker room after Game 6, which tied up the series. LeBron said about Golden State, quote, "They effed up mentally and physically. I'm telling you, they effed up." We're joined once again by Chris Broussard. Chris, what do you make of this?
We couldn't show the footage, huh?
Because of language. They effed up, so.
LeBron was absolutely right.
He absolutely.
Right. I agree.
When a team is up 3-1 and then the other team wins the next 2 to force a game 7, there is and one of those games was on your home floor where you had been all but invincible all year, you are going to be messed up mentally. Mm. When you're up 3-1 in almost every case, you're the better team. You should win the series. You won 3 of the first 4 games, and then you lose 2 straight. So mentally, that's going to mess with you. And when you look at that game 7, Steph Curry, 6 for 19, 4 for 14 from 3. Mm-hmm. Klay Thompson, 6 for 17, 2 for 10 from 3. These are 2 of the greatest shooters ever. Mm-hmm. Best shooting backcourt, I think best backcourt, period, of all time.
Yep.
And they didn't play well. Now, I'll give some of that credit to the Cavs' defense. They played really good defense. But that same defense gave Draymond Green 32 points. He scored 32.
32, 15, and 9 to be exact.
There you go. So that shows mentally, Steph, Klay, they were shook. They were a little messed up. So I think LeBron was right on the money with that quote. Hmm. Here's the thing. When you watch that whole episode of More Than an Athlete, sometimes LeBron with the tweets, the Instagrams, and, you know, he always seems like he wants better teammates. I need more help. I need more help. It can come off like he doesn't have enough confidence in himself as the best player in the world, like he should. But what I saw from that video, not just that quote, but watching that video, and you hear a lot of things around the league about LeBron's leadership, positive and negative. I saw a great leader. I saw the ultra confidence. When they were down 3-1, after they were down 3-1 after game four, and LeBron was in the locker room, and they showed it in that video. And I get it. This is his company editing it and showing what they want. But the footage is still real. Yeah. He was in the locker room saying, let's just get one. All we need is one. Don't worry about three. Just get one. Don't worry about three. Like, that was he. I thought at that time, covering that series, that the Cavs and LeBron were done at that point. Huh. I thought they were shook. I thought he was shook. I thought there's no way they're coming back, and they know it. But he was in that locker room saying, just one. Don't worry about three, just one, to himself and his teammates. That showed me a great leader. I thought the way he handled the post-game interviews, it showed leadership. And that quote, I think it was right on the money. He said just what they needed to hear and just what was on point. Mm.
Go ahead, Skip. I don't even want to go. I don't want to go right now. I don't want to go.
Smiling.
I don't want to go. Don't want to go.
So exactly which side of LeBron's mouth is he speaking out of now? Because a couple of days ago, we heard that he was taking credit for pulling off this upset, which made him the GOAT, as I call him, the faux GOAT. But that's his case that he was making. That made him the greatest ever because he pulled off this upset. But now we see that he knew he had them on the ropes after six games.
Yeah.
Because they were cooked mentally and physically. And need I detail again what that team had been through? It gutted it out all the way home to win 73 games. And they all admitted later, Steve Kerr admitted, it was a mistake. You took way too much mental and physical energy to do that. Then you fell behind 3-1 to Oklahoma City. And Oklahoma City was still a troubled basketball team between, obviously, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook. And they finally came apart in the crucial game, which was game six,
right,
in their place. And they shot poorly. They combined to shoot 1-for-13 from three. And Klay Thompson went off in that game and made 11 threes and scored 41 points and saved their bacon. And they got back home, and then they had to grind out a defensively oriented sort of a football game against Oklahoma City. They won 96-88 in game seven. So they're on the ropes when they get to the NBA Finals. And to your point, LeBron looked lifeless to me in game four because they got outscored in the fourth quarter in his house 29-20. Yeah. But a pivotal episode took place with 2 minutes and a half to go in that basketball game. And that was Draymond got into it, LeBron. He vocally, loudly calls him the B word. They go up the court. They get tangled up.
Called and then boss. He,
boss? Yeah, I don't think it was a boss. It, the next letter was I. It wasn't O. You know. So, and then they get tangled up. And Draymond kicks him in the midsection. This is just craziness because this is your guts and glue guy. And then Kiki Vandeweghe and obviously the commissioner stepped in and did something that I did not believe they would do. They suspended a key player for the fifth game of the series back in Oakland, obviously.
You think it was warranted?
But I've never seen a commissioner in any sport do that.
Remember San Antonio? They suspended Robert. They suspended Amari Stoudemire for coming out the bench with Robert Ory. Right.
I'm talking about the finals.
Oh.
That was the conference finals.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. But again, this is the NBA. This is going to decide the championship of the world.
Yep.
And you take away Draymond for game five. And to me, they were discombobulated. They were on fumes already. And then once game five happened back in Oakland and LeBron happened and Kyrie happened.
Yep.
Because Kyrie in 5, 6, and 7, he averaged 30 a game. And he made 9 of 17 threes. That's 53% he shot from the three-point line. And he made all 13 of his free throws over the last three games. So LeBron did have help. LeBron was great.
No question.
Kyrie was great.
Yes.
But they got help from Tristan in game six. He had 15 points and 16 rebounds. And Kevin Love had 14 rebounds in game seven. So don't tell me. The point was the better team won. That's why I can't call that the greatest upset ever. Because, hey, look at what Steph has done in the postseason. Did he not come up small once again down the stretch of that? The last three games, Steph Curry had, 7 assists and 12 turnovers. 7 to 12 in the last three games. He had 7 assists. And then you already pointed out his numbers in the last game. He disappeared. Draymond finally came up bigger in game seven, but he wasn't good in game six and five and six.
He wasn't there for five.
Yeah, and he wasn't there for five. And then Klay was hit and miss, and he was mostly missing game seven. So to me, yeah, I'll take LeBron James, the best player on the planet, and Kyrie, and Kevin Love, and Tristan, that's a better team than those guys were at that point.
I will say that, and I've said it on here before, if we were at the park and you put Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green on one side, and LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love on the other,
Drew.
I'm taking the Cavs side. Right. Like, that's more. Now, Golden State had a better offense. They had better chemistry. You know,
better bench, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's definitely a better bench. But I'm with you. I mean, I think, look, it was obviously a tremendous achievement for LeBron to win that. But, yeah, they didn't have Kevin Durant.
Right.
Like, you do it now. We look at the Warriors differently now. Yeah.
Now you got
it. Okay, well, help me understand this. I just want to make sure I'm hearing this correctly. Now, when LeBron led the Cavs back from 3-1, the Warriors were fragile. Were they fragile when they came back from 3-1 against OKC?
I think they were.
OKC was fragile.
OKC was fragile.
Okay.
And I'm not saying. No, they were. They were.
He wanted out. What was about to happen?
So he wanted out.
He was about to go to Golden State.
Did he want out when he got the 3-1 lead or after he lost the 3-1 lead? When did he want out?
He wanted out.
Because he was playing unbelievable.
He wanted out about 3 years before that.
To your point, though, what you're saying, look, as great as Kevin Durant is, we got to admit, he has not proven that he will lead a team to a championship. He was a finals MVP. But that's a stacked team, and Steph's team. To your point, that was his team.
Yes.
That was – I don't know Russ was
great.
So you
say he needs to go somewhere and take the Knicks to the
championship. Well, I'm just saying what Shannon is saying is we compare LeBron and Durant. LeBron has proven, even though he's had help, obviously, that he can lead a team, his team, to championships. Durant has yet to prove that. And when he had his team, they faltered.
Yeah.
That's what he, I think.
Because Russ is an MVP. Russ is on pace to have another triple-double season. So three straight. That's what KD had.
Who was the primary decision maker on that team, those Thunder? Who was
Russ.
It?
Well, Russ, because he had the ball.
He dribbled it up every time, and he got to decide, I'm going to go solo here, or I'll give you a chance.
But Durant wasn't good in those. Russ wasn't either.
Game six and seven,
they both struggled. They both faltered.
They did.
You think LeBron keeps talking about 2016?
No, we ain't going to talk about
start of something?
LeBron talking about everything. He's talking about whatever he wants.
He's got too much time
he ain't gonna
while
stop.
He's recovering. Chris, thank you for being here.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.